This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
Yeah.
So are we in the first wave of COVID? Or is it the second wave?
I usually when it comes in waves, I expect there to be like a respite in between.
We're following breaking news. Tonight, there are new and ominous indicators that the United States is now plunging into the second wave of the coronavirus pandemic. In addition to the rising death toll and case count, most states are now reporting alarming spikes in new infections. 21 of them see all-time highs as hospitalizations are also soaring right now.
All right.
Soaring!
So, is it the second wave or is it at the third wave?
Just in time for flu season, the third surge of COVID-19 is blanketing the nation. Wisconsin setting another one-day record for new cases, more than 3,700.
I'm not sure it's all that important if it's the first wave, the second wave, or the third wave. Can't we all get on the same wavelength here?
I think that it depends on how much you want to scare people.
Okay.
Because that's a lot of what this is. I mean, if you broke down the statistics and you took a serious hard look at this, and I think in 10, 20 years people will, and they go, you know what, they got some real things wrong here and they should have done a few things different, but we kind of overstepped here. When you break down everything, and first wave, second wave, third wave. Now, is it the second wave for New York?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know because they've never come out of quarantine, really. It's been smatterings compared. California has been under quarantine since I don't know when, and until they cure death, he's never letting anybody out. You know the joke about Newsom? You know the whole thing with the eating mask? You know, you have to eat the...
Yeah,
you're only allowed to sit outside.
The governor of California says... I don't think they put it into play, though.
No, because he got laughed at by everybody.
Yeah. Well, we even laughed at it. You go to a restaurant, you wear a mask, you sit down, you keep your mask on. Your food comes, you take a bite with your mask off, you chew with your mask on. I could totally get behind that. That's awesome.
I know you could, but as an average human being, we'd be like, you know, I think I'm gonna pass on that.
Yeah. So first wave, second wave, third wave. I don't want to scare people. I have no interest in scaring anybody. I don't care what these CNN, ABC, or whatever it is, or you know, Fox News say. If they want to scare people, they can scare people. I'm not watching them anyway. My thing is this: I think it's fair to say in Arizona we went through the first wave.
Yes.
And now we're going to see if there is a second wave. Is that fair?
I think that's a fair thing.
Okay, because I'll tell you, it's been pretty good for the last couple months.
Yeah.
I think all of us feel a little bit normal. We're doing things that are normal again.
I would say that's very true.
Okay. So now that, you know, if you look, this has not been the best week in Arizona.
No.
For COVID cases. It doesn't mean that we're, you know, going to be one of the hot spots. But if you look, get my note here. If you look across the country, there are three dozen states that are experiencing a surge. There are now 8 million infections. So if you look at Arizona and you look at this week, we had our first 1,000 COVID case day, and we really hadn't had that since early September. There was something in mid-September.
How many people
where there
are
were
1,000,
but there were antigen tests. Remember, so we're not going to count that. Go ahead.
My question is about the testing because
I think 8,000 today.
So 8,000.
That's what I heard.
Now is that 8,000? Like, see, this is the thing. You and I, we've talked about this. So okay, so 8,000 comes in, but is that 8,000 from today, or are these the things? You know, you got it back in 15. You got it back in 2 hours. They got it back in 3 days.
I don't know. Here's what I wish I knew. We're probably going to get another wave of this thing.
It's possible.
Okay. If the rest of the country is getting these COVID cases on the rise, it's going to happen eventually here in Arizona.
Yeah, it's absolutely possible.
So does the governor have a plan to get everybody a test and you get the test back in 2 days? Excuse me, 2 hours?
The governor. You're funny.
I'm just saying.
No.
Like, this is, it's interesting.
I don't think so.
When you're doing well, right? And you're riding a pretty good streak here for a couple months. Isn't your job, and he may be doing this for all I know, isn't your job to say, when it gets bad, we're going to do this? Because we can't go back to waiting 2 weeks for a test.
No.
It is a waste of
time. I don't
time.
Think that's going to happen, but it's also a crapshoot, right? You go to a Walgreens or CVS or wherever, you may get there and they may say, like you went to something and they said within 2 hours, you came, you sat down, they called you. It was nice that you came in.
I went to a Walgreens.
And sat by us even though you hadn't got the results. But
I had the results. But remember, I wasn't sick.
No. You did it. You did it.
But I did it because I traveled for the last two weekends, and I said, you know what? Going to just get tested, make sure. We got a couple guys here that have underlying conditions that we kind of stay away from, but still we want to make sure that everybody's cool. So I did get that test, and it got you know, it's quick. It was drive-through. It was at a Walgreens. I think we only have a few of those. And I got my results back in 2 hours. I wasn't surprised that it was negative. I was fine. I was fine.
Watching Rogan. He had Wesley Hunt, who's a guy that's a congressman candidate in Texas, on. He said, so the way it works now is new studio is you walk in. There's a nurse there. She gives you a test. It comes back almost immediately.
This is at a radio studio.
Yeah.
Which is why do we not have this at airports? Why do we not have this in every single building in the country? We're the richest country in the world.
Well, it'd be tough in the – like, I mean, you know
– how do we not have a home test yet?
Really?
How do we not – you say it all the time. How do we not have an app?
That, to me, is the thing. Why is there not an app and a home test that we could do this rather quickly? I don't know if I want to put my information out there, but I'll tell you what. There should be a way for us to do this in a much quicker way at home. If you can tell that you have a child inside of you, we should be able to tell that you have a virus that, yeah, that everybody's trying to put together really fast. It's nuts, and it's frustrating. Even 15, 20 minutes, we should be able to do this in mass, and we're not.
No, we're not. So, Dr. Anthony Fauci.
Oh, good.
He was talking about herd immunity. So, there was something that, I don't know if it leaked from the White House or it was something they were thinking of, that they said, okay, let's just go with herd immunity. And it's not like it's a plan that's set in stone. It may have been discussed.
Yeah.
So, Fauci.
If you just let things rip and let the infection go, no masks, crowd, it doesn't make any difference. That, quite frankly, is ridiculous.
Isn't he right?
Yeah.
He's so right.
But that's not what they're talking about, and that's the funny thing.
Okay.
The people that put this thing together, all epidemiologists, all virologists, all in the same position he is globally in other places, that they're not talking about a just get out there and live your life. What they're saying is live your life, and if you want to, you know, social distance, do these things that you're going to do, but protect the vulnerable and the elderly, which is what we should be doing. Mm-hmm. But he said the other day, well, it's impossible to do that.
This idea that we have the power to protect the vulnerable is total nonsense, because history has shown that that's not the case.
So let me break that down a little bit, because you and I hear this, I think, a little bit differently. He's talking about herd immunity. And I guess what that means is if you're younger, go out and do your thing, but we can still protect the elderly if we go herd immunity. And I hear that he's saying that can't happen, because what we're doing right now is we are protecting the elderly, and we can do that because we have all these things in place for
or
everybody.
Or because it's already swept through the elderly in many places.
In a lot of places,
so
sure.
So the ones that have been there either have T-cell immunity or have the antibody, and they're not worried about catching it a second time potentially.
I just don't know why the White House would do anything with herd immunity when Pfizer might be on in a few days. They may say, hey, we're ready to go.
But you know what nobody ever asked him? Hey, Fauci.
With a vaccine.
Fauci. What's the vaccine got to be where you feel comfortable with us living our normal lives?
I think he's answered that.
He has not answered it. And what happens if there is no vaccine that works?
That I haven't heard yet.
So
I've heard him say like 50, 60 or something like that.
Well, yeah, but and here's the other thing. This is feeling to be more endemic rather than pandemic, which the flu's endemic.
Right.
Means it never really goes anywhere. It's always here. We're not going to shut down every 6 months, are we?
No.
We're going to have to start making serious decisions, because I want to see somebody lay out the plans
for
the what-if scenarios.
There's no plan.
Yeah, there you go.
There's no plan from the governor. Doesn't matter what side of the aisle they're on.
And by the way, I don't think
president.
Biden has a plan.
He doesn't have a plan either. Oh, we're in good shape. Coming up next,
it's gonna be
did
great.
Trump's NBC town hall help or hurt him last night?
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
The Gatos and Chad Show, afternoons.
So I kind of tweeted this earlier today. If you can't beat Joe Biden / George Stephanopoulos, that town hall in the ratings, something is wrong. So when we look at last night,
it's a conspiracy.
You had
Get QAnon.
Biden and Stephanopoulos and that town hall beat Trump by, what, a couple million votes?
Viewers.
Sorry, a couple million viewers.
You're not good at this.
I am not. Take two.
Yeah.
So, and listen, I watched a lot of Biden last night, and I also watched a lot of Trump. It was on the 5 o'clock hour here. You and I were watching and monitoring, and the Biden stuff was absolutely boring. Doesn't mean that it was bad. I'm just saying it was really boring.
Yeah,
and if you want to see a show, you should have put NBC on yesterday, because the Trump Savannah Guthrie was interesting. It was compelling. It was much better television. And Trump lost in the ratings. And what I mean by that is he hates to lose in the ratings. And if he's losing in the ratings to the most boring man in the world, Joe Biden, I don't think you're going to do well on election night, Mr. Trump.
It is.
It's a telling sign
that
more people, Chad, want to watch the boring than the actual show, Trump show.
Here's the thing, too, with Trump.
Wrong.
I also think people are just over just everything, not just Trump. I think people are sick and tired of watching the media fight with them all the time.
They want to go vote.
They want to go vote and get it over with.
And by the way, if we could vote some of the media out, I'd like to do that, too.
Because it does at times feel like, you know, I don't care anymore. I don't want to watch somebody yell at him and argue him, and they get cheered by people on the left the way that she took it to him. And at the same time, you know, you look over there and Stephanopoulos is like, how you doing, sir? And it's just like,
How did you think Stephanopoulos did with Trump in the
town
hall?
I think he did okay.
So what was really the difference between Stephanopoulos and Biden?
Well, the difference was who was asking the question. Because Stephanopoulos, all he did was really facilitate, hey, it's Nancy from, you know, Philadelphia. She wants that. She's an undecided voter.
Yeah.
Well, then we found out with that one that they weren't really undecided voters the first time with Trump. Mm-hmm. And so that was something a little bit different. At the end of the day, you pretty much have made up your mind. That thing is shrinking. Every single day.
The amount of undecided voters.
The amount of undecided voters that can sway this one way or another.
But here's the thing, Chad. I was talking to a buddy of mine who's a big Trump supporter. And I said, so what'd you think of last night? And I can hear him on the face, he's shaking his head. He goes, what is this stuff with, you know, he still doesn't answer the white supremacist question. Well, he's putting out this conspiracy theory that SEAL Team 6 didn't kill Bin Laden and Joe Biden.
Then killed them.
Faked the whole thing.
Because that's how sweet he is.
And
skills.
This wacko conspiracy driven cult that is out there that Trump continues to talk about and retweet and play dumb that he doesn't understand what it's about. And my buddy, who's this big Republican, big Trump fan, he goes, I don't know what the hell that guy's doing. I don't get what he is doing. He's blowing it. And that's not me saying it.
Yeah.
That's a friend of mine who he doesn't like Trump, dude. He loves Trump.
Yeah.
Okay. He loves Trump. He just looks at this stuff and he says, I wonder if I'm the only big Trump supporter out there that's looking at this man just completely collapse in front of our eyes.
I watched, I did a thing today with the National Review, which was started by Buckley, who is kind of the founding father of conservatism in the modern way that we know it. And they're very conservative, like uber conservative, like the kind of thing where Trump would look and say, do they really like, Amy Coney Barrett? And they were Jim Garrity, who's one of the lead editors over there, said today he's the conspiracy theories, the thought process about, you know, not just QAnon, but the SEALs. There's no defending that. And he doesn't even look. He just probably sees something that says, oh, these guys are hammering Biden. Quick. Another conspiracy, send it on the way and move on with himself. And it's a sad situation because it feels like you're the athlete that stuck around a year or two too long, and it's time to go. And
I think that's really telling. And I'll just wrap it up with this. And I've said this a little bit before. If Trump treated COVID like it was a terrorist trying to kill Americans, we'd be doing really good today. I think we'd be doing a lot better.
I don't know if we'd be doing better.
I think we'd be doing a lot better.
Because
he would have cared. He would have went
he
after it.
He may have
it.
Cared more, but I don't know if we'd be doing better. Because by the sounds of everything, even from Fauci, this thing's going to do what it does. Well, if it's going to do what it does, I think that at that point in time, we just have to brace ourselves. And what's the best way to do that? But
I don't think the town hall helped him last night.
I don't think it did either.
No. All right. Coming up next, you've seen the signs around town. Vote no on 208. Okay, so what is 208? It's a prop. We're going to talk about it. Someone We'll explain it. And we're going to talk about that next. One of the biggest things on the ballot. Stick around.
Arizona's news station, KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
Drive home with the Gatos and Chad Show.
All right, let's talk Prop 208. Invest in Ed. They proposed a 3.5% tax surcharge on the state's highest income earners. And this money is supposed to go directly to teachers and salary. It's also supposed to go to schools. Here is the argument in support of Prop 208.
Prop 208 would boost income taxes on high-earning Arizonans to generate about $900 million a year for schools.
Half of that money goes directly into teacher pay and into creating more positions, which would have the effect of lowering class size.
Arizona Education Association President Joel Thomas says we rank toward the bottom for education funding compared to other states.
It's an unsustainable situation. And so what we need to do is we need a significant infusion, an investment of dollars into our classrooms.
All right. Joining us now is Glenn Hammer, Arizona Chamber President and CEO. And Glenn, you are a no on Prop 208. I'll say this. I'm no fan of Joe Thomas at all. And I'm also no fan of raising taxes. And Arizonans don't like these props about raising taxes on the ballot. But I am a yes on it because I just don't know how else to get money into teachers' hands and schools. So you're a no. Why?
Well, we're a hell no. And the reason why is the Arizona Republic's editorial nailed it. It's an extreme proposal with more pitfalls than promise that deepens the divisions in our society and puts the state's economy at risk. And we're down 139,000 jobs since the start of the pandemic. And most of those jobs are in the small business sector.
We're also down
small business.
We're also 30% down on teachers. We also have a 30% teacher vacancy. So I'm just wondering, what are we supposed to do?
We strongly support increased pay for teachers. We strongly have been supporters of the plan that has been implemented to increase teacher pay by 20% over a 3-year period. We put more money into the classroom in Arizona than any other state over the last 4 or 5 years. Proposition 208, it has no reform. It has no accountability. But what it does have is about $1 billion tax on Arizona small businesses. Half of the filers that are hit by this are small businesses, and they employ 58% of Arizonans who are in the private sector. It destroys our competitiveness. We would have basically double the small business tax rate of Colorado, New Mexico, and Utah. I don't think that's terribly smart as we're trying to rebuild our economy. Again, we're down 139,000 jobs since the start of the pandemic.
Here's what my notes say. The proposition will only impact 13% of businesses. If you also want to talk about money, the 20 by 2020 was good. But the problem is, let's say you make, like, you're a teacher and your base salary is 32K. All right, now you're 38. It's not very good. You've got people coming out of college making $48,000, $65,000, something like that.
Yeah, and we want to continue. I'm the product of two New York city and state public school teachers. I want to continue to see us make progress on teacher pay, but I want to do it in a way that's sustainable and doesn't cause problems in other parts of our budget. And you know, when you think about how we fund education, it's also important that we not neglect community colleges. We've also strongly supported putting extra money into our community colleges and our universities, and this proposal doesn't do anything there. And I want to just make this point that population migration is a real issue. I'm living proof of that. I grew up in New York, and if you told me at this point in my life that Florida would have more people than New York, I would say you're drinking too much concentrated orange juice. But business climate matters. And when you look at the states right next to us, Colorado, their tax rate's about 4.6, New Mexico, 4.9, Utah, 4.95. We're 4.5. We're the lowest, but it's all about the same. We go up to 8%, not indexed for inflation. When companies and high wealth individuals are looking to migrate from California, what's your pitch if you're competing against Colorado, for example? I mean, we had record number of 115 degree days in Phoenix, a record number of 110 degree days, and a record number of 100 degree days. We compete for these jobs. This destroys our regional competitiveness. It's just bad. And there's other ways to get more money into our K-12 system than putting a heat-seeking missile into our small business community at a time where we're still 130,000 jobs down since the start of the pandemic.
Talking to Glenn Hammer, Arizona Chamber President and CEO. No on Prop 2. That's where he stands. I'm with you on the no. I think everybody should have skin in the game. So you say there's other ways to do it. What are some of those other ways? Because I go and look at this thing. Who's for it? Who's against it? Republicans are all against it. Democrats all for it. Not a shocker. Joe Thomas, he's the playbook from California is what I feel. It'll never be enough.
Independents maybe leaning a little bit towards it.
But how do we get more money into the schools? Because we do need a better education system than we have right now.
Well, what we need to do is we need to make sure we still have a healthy economy. We've been able to make these investments while storing up $1 billion in our rainy day fund because of good financial management. There's opportunities to juice up Proposition 1, 2, 3. And we've made it clear that we're open to increasing the state's sales tax at least a little bit. So long as there's some additional accountability and reforms. This has no accountability whatsoever. There are no guarantees that this money is going to go into our classroom. There's no guarantee that this is going to improve student performance. And just think about anything. I mean, if you're going to talk about $1 billion, wouldn't you at least want some sort of accountability metrics built into this? And this just fails miserably on all of those points.
Glenn Hammer, Arizona Chamber President and CEO. Thanks, man. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me on.
So we gave you both sides of this early today at 3:30. We had someone who is a yes on 208. Glenn Hammer is a no on 208.
Chad Benson is a no on 208.
I am a reluctant yes. I explained why. I'm going to vote yes on it because I think our schools and teachers are hemorrhaging, but it's not the best way to go about it, but I think we have to. If you want to go to the podcast and check it out, you can get the Gatos and Chad Show on the KTAR News app, KTAR.com. Subscribe to the show on the Apple Podcast app on your iPhone. You can listen to both sides of that argument. Up next, if you get COVID, should you feel ashamed? Next.
Arizona's News Station. KTAR News, 92.3 FM.
A mashup of news, information, and entertainment. The Gatos and Chad Show, 2 till 6.
Picture this. You've come down with a cough, decide to get tested, and it's positive. Now, telling family, friends, and coworkers is the next step, but making those calls can be hard.
So there's a study out there that says another potential symptom of COVID is shame. Should you feel shame?
No.
If you get COVID?
No. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
This is an HIV in the 80s.
Okay.
Right? It's COVID. It's like a flu that we don't have a vaccine for. Uh-huh. That's what this is. And it's everywhere. You don't even know where you got it.
I think some people know where they get it or who they got it from. Others don't. Here's what I always say. Should you feel any shame if you get it? Well, think about it. Let's say you go out, you decide, you know, I'm never going to wear this mask. I don't really care about washing my hands. You know, I'm going to go and hang out with a lot of different people in a lot of different places, and I'm just not going to socially distance. If that's you, and you do get sick, and you spread it to other people, I think you should feel shame.
Don't feel shame. It's stupid.
But here's
what if you get the flu?
But here's the other thing. Well, yeah, but we're in a pandemic now.
And what if you get the flu?
I understand that. But in a pandemic, now we've got certain rules that we should go by to try and keep us safe and everybody else safe. If you want to throw all those rules out the window and then you get sick, I've got a problem with that. But listen, if you go and you just try your best, like all of us are doing, you try your best.
Don't feel shame.
And you get sick, there's no reason to feel shame.
Don't feel shame. Don't feel shame at all. Period. Case closed. End of story. There's no reason to feel any shame. It's just, it's, you know, you live your life, try not to be an idiot, regardless of when we are, whether we're in a pandemic or not, don't be an idiot, do your best.
And what if you're an idiot, though? We'll go down that line. Like,
hey,
what if you don't do any of this stuff?
Guess what? I understand that.
But if you just say, I'm not going to do any of the social distancing or anything, and I think this whole thing is phony, and then I get it and spread it to other people, isn't that – shouldn't you feel bad about yourself?
Everybody to think this thing – you know, the reason you got it is because you thought it was phony. You know what? There's a lot of people out there that are like, yeah, I know this thing's out there. I don't think it's a hoax, but I'm not really worried about it, and I'm going to live my life.
There's no doubt.
Which I think angers people. Oh, you're not afraid? No. No. And no, don't feel shame. That's the dumbest thing in the world. My goodness me.
My goodness me.
That's just a dumb... Well, hey, should you feel shame?
I think there's one road you can go down where maybe you feel that way.
What? Which is that?
What I just said. It's like, you know, Broomhead has said this. He said this earlier today. Because they were talking about, should I get the vaccine? And he's like, you know what? I'd get the vaccine because if I got COVID and I spread it to somebody, I would feel so awful.
Absolutely.
And that's part of the reason why you do
don't
get the vaccine.
Don't feel shame. Do not feel shame.
Shame, shame, I know your name.
No, no shame.
Coming up next.
Do not feel the shame.
Shame.
No shame.
Becky Lynn. She has no shame.
Zero.
She's got whatever you call it next.